Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Not in studio with me is Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
She is in the Explorations Early Learning Intergalactic Headquarters dining room. Lisa Murphy is in Rochester, New York. Hi, Lisa Murphy.
Rochester. Hello.
And back with us again is Josie the Librarian from Kansas City. How are you doing, Josie?
I'm great.
Josie's here with a book recommendation and some early literacy conversation. It's a jingle I've been working on.
Keep working at it.
Keep working. So, Josie, what do you have to recommend to us today, and what do you have to talk to us about literacy today?
I have a spooky book for you today.
A spooky book.
I do. It's one of my favorites from the past few years. It is called Creepy Carrots.
Creepy Carrots.
Creepy Carrots. And it is by Aaron Reynolds. And it actually won the, or it was a Caldecott Honor Book the year it came out, which.
Ooh, la-di-da. Oh, wow.
I know. And
hey, hold that thought, because you know what I want you to do this time? Unless it's putting you on the spot, is walk people through the difference between Caldecott and Newbery. I think that's an important, like what the awards mean.
Oh, sure. Don't just mean,
yeah. Okay.
We can talk a little bit about that. That's a good idea. Anyways, I think 2012 is when it came out. And this book is funny. But what is so awesome about it is it looks like a black and white horror film. And this is why it won the Caldecott, because it does such interesting things with color. Everything is black and white, except there's a little bit of orange on each page. And the orange represents
the creepy carrot.
The creepy carrots. And I can't to tell you everything about the orange would kind of give away some of the book. And it's a book that you need. I'm not going to spoil it because it's really fun. Grown-ups will love it too. But it's about this little bunny named Jasper, who he's walking home from school and he finds himself in a carrot patch. And it's his favorite carrot patch because they have the very best carrots there. So he's always ripping them up and eating them. Until one day, they start to follow him home.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And it gets spooky. And I'll be honest, if you have a child that scares easily, there are parts of this book that might be a little overwhelming. But I think once they get to the end, they're going to see that, you know, he wasn't ever really in any danger after all. But the book plays out like a real horror movie would. And, you know, all the adults in Jasper's life don't believe that these carrots are really following him and that it's all in his head and he's just imagining it until he finally finds a way to solve his problem. But I'm not going to tell you if the carrots are real or not.
What's Juliet think of the book?
Juliet loves it. Juliet is also a horror fiend, so the better. Now, he just came out with a sequel this past year or the year before. It's called A Creepy Pair of Underwear. And it is the same thing, except he kind of uses the green underwear as his color scheme, but if it has a similar feel to it, and kids just love that one because it's about underwear.
Of course.
And nothing is funnier than underwear.
Especially so yeah, please green underwear.
Go check out Creepy Carrots. I think grown-ups will like this one as much as the kids do.
I haven't heard of this one. Illustrations are, of course, awesome, I'm guessing.
Yeah, not that I know the listeners can't see it, but I'll show you guys. So you can see it's kind of black and white.
Yeah, there's just that one accent of orange color in the different illustrations.
Yeah.
When you're choosing children's literature, the illustrations need to be a deciding point for you, because so much of the so much of the stuff that's published that's bullshit, the illustrations just don't live up to what you would want. The quality stuff as quality illustrations, right?
Oh, no, I'll jump in on that.
Okay, what?
I'm going to quote two people. Mem Fox, who says that not every story has a picture and not every picture has a story. So point being that sometimes a book without any pictures in it can still be amazingly awesome. And it's more getting into an art conversation, but children can draw something or create something that doesn't necessarily have, you know, a paragraph narrative that goes along with it. The other thing I'm going to quote is Ruslan Sletsky, who is the best name researcher out of Ohio ever. And Ruslan Sletsky's initial research question was, I wonder if children choose books by their cover. And I sat in on his conference presentation and there were seven of us in the room, and he said, I didn't think there'd be this many people interested in my topic. I'm like, just the nerds, man. Just the nerds, man. And anyway, it was no surprise to us in the room as teachers that, of course, his answer was, yes, children do choose the books by the cover. The concern with that, I'm not going to say problem, but the concern with that could be, Jeff, that
yes,
a book might have an illustrated cover that's illustrated by somebody totally different than the writer, and the art could be fantastic and the story could be crap, or vice versa. The story could be awesome, but the cover isn't intriguing, so nobody ever picks it up. So I would say, you know, always go a little deeper.
Give me an example of that book.
Of a book that what has a crappy cover?
Has great illustrations and a shitty story.
Oh, I'm on the spot. I'm not even going to try and bullshit you. I would have to go dig through my box.
Okay, because, I mean, my experience is if the story is bullshit and poorly written, the illustrations are the same.
But though we could unpack then what is compromising poorly written. Like, is it some really quick mass-produced bullshit line of from a TV show that we've just now turned it into 14 pages of a book?
Yes.
Okay, so probably it's not necessarily a big, quote unquote, good story. So, you know, we're just looking to, kids are going to buy that because of the character on the front, not because of the story that's inside of it.
Yeah. I mean, my, most of the books that are related to the television show Sesame Street, for example, are bullshit stories with bullshit illustrations, in my experience.
And it's teachy-preachy. They're teachy-preachy books.
Yeah.
And they're capitalizing off the fact that they're recognizable characters that are going to be probably neutral. Nobody needs to be worried about anybody getting offended, and it's a quick, easy sell.
Josie, you're the expert.
Well, I was going to say...
And your kitty cat is so pretty.
Oh, thank you. He is pretty. He's a bad kitty, but he's pretty. Now you're talking about my cat. To what Lisa said, a lot of times picture book authors do not know their illustrators. They write the story, mm-hmm, and the publishing company picks it up and they are assigned an illustrator. And the illustrator will try to work with them to create a picture that matches their vision, But sometimes they have zero control over that. I am thinking of books that have some beautiful illustrations and stupid stories. And they tend to be those preachy books. I cannot, I mean, I don't want to slam the series because I, you know, it's fine. I can't think of the name of it, but Juliet got a book. She picked up a book. It was some princess name and the lost kitten. And it really had very pretty pictures. I know why she picked the book up, but it was all about, I mean, it was allegory. And it was, you know, very much trying to teach a lesson. Like, I think the princess represented, like, one of the fruits of the spirit or something like that from the Bible. And it was a silly story. It wasn't very good. And that's because it was just trying to send a message, make some money. They did. It was beautifully illustrated. We'll look at the pictures sometimes, but I think those preachy books are the ones where they've got a lot of times good illustrations and they're just
lazy illustrations doesn't mean lazy writing, and lazy writing doesn't mean lazy illustrations.
Not necessarily.
It'd be so much easier if it did.
That's true. But a lot of times it does. And those are usually the books you can buy at the grocery store for 99 cents. I mean, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
I'm changing gears. Go back, because somebody right now is wondering. Go back and give us a quick synopsis of the difference between Newbery and Caldecott.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they're both given out by the ALA, which is the American Library Association. Newbery is going to be for your chapter books without illustration. Caldecott is the big award for picture books. So the Caldecott is looking at the text of the story. Does it tell a compelling story? And are the pictures beautiful? And most of the time, it's the illustrations that are really going to get you a Caldecott honor. And you'll see some books, they'll say the Caldecott honor book. You'll have the ones that actually win the award, and there'll be four or five every year that are like the runners up. I'm trying to think. I'm sure we can put a link in the show notes that has a list of like all the Newbery and Caldecott awards for the past however many years they've been doing it. It's a long time.
Is there one that's just for illustrations and one that's just for text? I don't want to put you on your spot. Don't Google it. That's cool.
Not of the big awards, but you know, each state has its own, each state's going to have its own awards. So, like in Missouri, we've got the building blocks, and those are for like picture books for the littlest people. But I think even that, it's looking at the text and the illustrations.
And the illustrations together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And even in 2019, that's the year now, right, isn't it? It's 2019
yes.
Now?
Yes.
Even in 2019, we can kind of look at Newbery and Caldecott and look at those books. And just because they won those awards, assume that they're probably pretty quality books.
Yeah. I mean, your mileage is going to vary.
Yeah, of course.
Well, and you're still going to read it before you say, hey, let's go, I'll read this book. Yeah.
I think today you have to be careful when you're going back, not so much with the, I don't know, maybe the Caldecott too, but especially the Newbery. Some of those award winners from the 50s and 60s may not be as politically correct today as most of our children's literature is.
I was wondering when we were going to get to talk about this.
which is why you should read them.
Exactly.
Which is why you should read them. Yes.
And, and I'm not saying that makes them inappropriate. It's just, it's good to know the content. So if you need to have a conversation while you're reading this book, you're prepared for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just the other day I was reading an article about Laura Ingalls Wilder had her name taken off of a book award because of some of her writing back in the 1800s about as a white woman about Native Americans. And of course she's gonna have some fucking biases back in the fucking 1800s. And they took her name off the award. And I think if we're trying to memory hole Laura Ingalls Wilder, maybe we've got some deeper cultural problems. I don't know. I'm just an asshole on the internet. I don't know. Thoughts?
I think we need to not throw the babies out with the bathwater. And I think it's also
not throw the Laura Ingalls Wilders out with the bathwater.
And I think the call to action for people, and I'm speaking right now as a white woman, right? As a white early childhood person. So you need to keep growing and learning new books. So I'm not a believer that we have to go back and rewrite everything. I am very mindful of making sure that moving forward, the people in the profession have their fingers on the pulse, literally, of all different kinds of books that are out there, and that we're not just, you know, going back to the same 10 books because that's what we're familiar with or that's what we grew up with. Awesome. But what else is out there? So using that as, I think, a call to action. Like even just today, I was at the library today. I've been working my way through this list of books for they're calling it young adult, but that was a whole different conversation because I was reading some of those young adult books. I'm like, dude, I'm 49 and I'm enjoying this book. And the definition of young adult genre is a little broader than what I had thought. And then something today that they called juvenile, like that was the word, was juvenile. Mm-hmm. I'm like, a 15-year-old could be reading this book. So anyway, so take all of that, I would argue, with a grain of salt. But I got a list of 100 books that deal with racial issues other than To Kill a Mockingbird. And they've been awesome. And I'm thrilled to know that they're in my wheel, in my wheelhouse. And they're really well done. You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes there's a... what's the word I'm looking for? Like people go, oh shoot, race is a hot topic. Let's everybody all go write a book about this and this and this and this. And we pump out crap. And I'm saying I got my hand on a good list because all of them so far, I've been like, you know what? These would have been good conversations that I wish that I could have had when I was 12, 14, 16, 19. And anyway, I just feel that they're now in my tool belt. So when people do ask, you know, hey, do you have any recommendations for kids of this age? Yes, boom, here. You know, it's not just all the ones that I grew up reading, but I can add to that suggested list now.
Cool.
And can I add something?
Of course. Of course.
That? Okay, so I agree with everything Lisa said. And I was going back to Jeff, the Laura Ingalls award, because I remember when that news broke a few weeks ago, I went back and forth trying to decide how did I feel about that. And I think the biggest caveat for me is, like Lisa said, I'm a white woman sitting here having this conversation. And I think when people are talking about something to do with racial injustice, all perspectives are valid. And we need to, you know, think that people might have a different thought than us. And I have not lived the life of a Native American person. And maybe that is painful to read as a child. And maybe if I had that child in my class, Little House is not the best choice. There are lots of good books out there. I don't think we need to get rid of the Little House books. They're timeless stories. I just think we need to be aware of them, read them, be ready to have a conversation, talk about historical perspectives at the time and how they
were
different today.
And I think that's the piece that people are afraid of right now is, and that's not even just a podcast. That's a whole podcast is unpacking the uncomfort of having that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, that book existed, and look where it gives context to how we have grown and mindsets have broadened and have shifted, right? And I think people in the profession need to figure out how to become more comfortable having those conversations.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was thinking is we also need to stop being so precious about the classics.
Yeah, well.
Just because something has stood the test of time doesn't mean it's always the best book out there.
You know what? Tessa of the D'Urbervilles is a fucking boring book.
Well, but I mean, but, well, okay, you know, I actually like that book.
Really?
But that's, I do. But I was a snob when I was a freshman in college, and I would only read classic literature and things like that. But it's like, my point being,
I only read Thomas Hardy.
Yeah, that I was that person for a while. It was bad. But just because we've been reading something for 100 years doesn't mean we have to keep reading it for another 100 years if maybe it wasn't really all that great to begin with. And I'm not saying Little House in this case.
But it also doesn't mean we need books, to burn them.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. You need to know the material before you get upset about it. That is when people go to challenge books in the library, at least in our system, the rule is they have to have read the material themselves
before I agree. It'll
even be considered. You can't just be like, I hear Harry Potter's the devil, so I don't want you to offer it to anyone. You need to know your material. And you need to be ready to talk about it. And I think Lisa's right. People are scared to talk, but.
Yeah. Just because the playgroup mamas said that they didn't want that book being read during playgroup doesn't mean it's a bad book. Go back to your playgroup.
And I mean, talking about something means people are going to jump on your fucking ass for having an opinion. So, I mean, of course, people don't want to talk about things because they're going to be vilified for having opinions. And
or they're going to realize they don't have one, or that they're just expressing somebody else's opinion.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been a delightful episode of the Child Care Barn Girl podcast. Anything else to wrap it up?
I just want to say thank you, Josie. I'm sure you'll be back for more, but I've enjoyed these that we've done with you.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun.
Well, of course you're going to be back. I came up with a fucking theme song. Hey, you can find Josie on the Miss Becky's Classroom podcast. You can find her on Instagram at
Juliet and Josie Reed.
Very good. Very good. Lisa Murphy, you can find her at ooeygooey.com. You can find us at explorationsearlylearning.com or playvolutionhq.com. You can also find Josie over there because Josie puts together our children's book recommendations, which have been really popular with visitors to the site. So check that out if you're looking for books to buy for kids. You could go further wrong than checking out the recommendations we've got there that Josie's put together. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
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 And there's another episode.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.